2 weeks ago, the Supreme Court of Canada announced that it would hear an Aboriginal title claim by the Tsokotan First Nation to their traditional lands in the Cariboo region of BC. This is the latest stage in a court battle that began more than 20 years ago when the Tsokotan communities took to blockades and court action to halt plans for clear-cut logging in the heart of their territories. David Rosenberg, QC, is an adjunct professor of law at UBC. He's the lawyer for Roger Williams of the Haniguitin and for the Tsokotan Nation as a whole. David Rosenberg joins me by phone this morning. Hello, David.
Good morning, Lorraine.
Take us back to the first judgment in this case, which took place in the BC Supreme Court under Judge David Vickers. It was a very long trial, 339 days of testimony and over 4.5 years. What kind of evidence did Judge Vickers hear?
Well, Judge Vickers, as you say, he sat for 5 years. He heard evidence from, first of all, many Tsokotan elders. He heard 24 Tsokotan witnesses, but he also heard experts in the fields of archaeology, anthropology, history, cartography, hydrology, wildlife ecology, ethnoecology, linguistics. The list goes on and on. He even held court at night so he could hear Tsokotan legends that weren't allowed to be told during daylight hours. He traveled to the Tsokotan region and held court in the Maya Valley, and at the end of it all, he wrote what really is a masterpiece. I don't agree with all of his conclusions, but his decision is far-reaching and reveals an intimate knowledge of the Tsokotan culture and the area, and an understanding of the law. Unfortunately, Justice Vickers passed away after writing this decision, and even though he was a very well-respected and senior jurist, I think that this piece of work is recognized as probably his masterpiece.
What did Judge Vickers find?
Well, he found a number of things. He found that the Tsokotan people have an Aboriginal right to hunt and trap and to trade in skins and pelts and to earn a moderate livelihood from doing that. He found that land use planning and forestry activities infringe the Tsokotan Aboriginal rights and title. But the most controversial thing that he did was he found that, in his opinion, Aboriginal title existed in about over 200,000 hectares of Tsokotan territory, but due to a technicality, he said he could not grant a declaration of Aboriginal title.
So how important was this judgment?
Well, the judgment in itself was very, very important for a number of reasons, but it's been superseded a little bit because what happened was all three parties, that is British Columbia, Canada, and the Tsokotan people, appealed to the British Columbia Court of Appeal, which you know is the highest court in British Columbia. And the British Columbia Court of Appeal dismissed all the appeals, thereby upholding Justice Vickers' findings, but they did so on a very different basis. The British Columbia Court of Appeal, Mr. Justice Groberman, writing for the court, found that the Aboriginal rights, the hunting and trapping rights, continue to exist, and because that decision won't be appealed, that will continue from now on. There's no appeal there. But Justice Groberman, for the Court of Appeal, also found that the Aboriginal title of the Tsokotan could not carry the day in terms of receiving a legal declaration because he found, the court found that Aboriginal title can't really be made on what he called a territorial basis. It can only be made on a site-specific basis.
So this judgment, or this whole court case, has been called the most important Aboriginal land case since Delgamuukw, the decision in 1997. What was the finding in that case?
Well, very interesting. In Delgamuukw, it was found that Aboriginal title was not extinguished in British Columbia. We've had a recognition in our Constitution in Section 35 since 1982, over 30 years now, that Aboriginal title or Aboriginal rights are recognized and affirmed. The problem, Lorraine, is even though we've had a constitutional recognition of Aboriginal rights and title, and even though Delgamuukw says in theory Aboriginal title exists on the land in British Columbia, we've never had a court decision anywhere in Canada that has said Aboriginal title actually exists on the land in any particular place off of a reserve. So if I can carry through on that for you, Delgamuukw was a very, very important case because in theory it said a number of things, including what Aboriginal title should look like as a legal construct in theory. But unfortunately, in Delgamuukw, the Supreme Court of Canada said, we can't find Aboriginal title for the Gixan-Wet'suwet'en, and we have to send it back for a new trial because we don't have the tools to actually make the finding of Aboriginal title based on the evidence in that case and the judge's findings of fact. In the present case, the Chilcotin case, in which Roger William, who was then chief of the Haniquitin, he brought that case, and now Chief Marilyn Baptiste of the Haniquitin and Joe Alphonse of the Chilcotin National Government are advancing the case to the Supreme Court of Canada. The Supreme Court of Canada will be asked to make that finding that we've been waiting for over 30 years, that Aboriginal title actually exists on the land, and to make statements about, if you like, where it exists. What does it constitute? What does it look like? And the reason this is so significant in some ways is because people say it's the impediment or roadblock to, for example, treaty making, because neither side at the table really knows how to deal with this. The government generally will not recognize Aboriginal title to any specific areas, doesn't want to do that at the table, and First Nations are insisting that their traditional territory has to be respected and recognized.
So it sounds like the case has a very important, it's very significant in terms of the law that could come out of it if title was determined. But also it must have practical consequences for the First Nations that are fighting for this. What effect would it have for them?
Well, I think hopefully, and remember, I'm one of just a team of lawyers that works for the Chilcotin. There are many others as well, but one of the consequences we're hoping for the Chilcotin people is that after a very long and difficult history with people coming into their territory, they'll at last be able to find some justice in terms of protection of their land, which is defines who they are and is very significant to them. So they're hoping to get a finding that they have the right to the land and the right to make use of the land the way they see fit. But beyond just the Chilcotin people, on the leave application to the Supreme Court of Canada, that is on the application to get permission from the Supreme Court of Canada to have the case heard, many other First Nations came forward saying that this case is of tremendous importance to them and all First Nations across Canada because it will help define what Aboriginal title is and what they hold. So First Nations are seeing this, generally speaking, as a very significant case.
When will the case come to trial?
Interesting, Lorraine. I just heard recently from the Supreme Court of Canada that in a preliminary way, they have set the court date for November 12, 2013. But you have to appreciate that only having decided 2 weeks ago that they're going to hear this case, there's a lot of procedural mechanisms that have to come into play. So, for example, we don't know how many intervener groups will come. Will industry come to make representations? Will other attorneys general across Canada want to participate? So the November 12th date is set right now, but whether or not we can keep with that schedule remains to be seen.
Well, David, I really appreciate your joining me, and we'll keep our eyes on the case.
Nice talking to you, Lorraine. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye now.
Bye-bye.
I've been speaking with David Rosenberg, QC. He is a lawyer for Roger William of the Honey-Guttin and for the Tsilhqot'in Nation as a whole.
This podcast was produced by the Red Eye Collective in Vancouver, BC. If you live in the Vancouver area and are interested in creating alternative radio with us, we'd love to hear from you. Contact us at redeye@coopradio.org.